I would like for you to get your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. The Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 25. And I want to speak with you a message that the Lord placed upon my heart. I believe, and I'm sure many of you can attest to it, that we are living in the latter of days. I believe that we are very close to the soon coming of Jesus Christ. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we do know and have a sense in our heart, in our spirit, that the time is coming very soon. And because of this, I believe it's very important for us to understand what the Lord is saying in this story, this parable. And so I want to share it with you in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. And I want to speak with you today about being prepared. Being prepared. Matthew 25, verse 1 says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins who took their lamps out and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took jars of oil with their lamps. While the bridegroom delayed, they all rested and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out.' The wise answered, 'No, lest there be not be enough for us and you. Go rather to those who sell it and buy some for yourselves.' But while they went to buy some, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" This parable that Jesus tells really serves as a reminder, a warning, in a sense, to you and to me of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And so before we get into this, let's say a short prayer. Lord, I pray that you would anoint your word. Help us to realize the time that we are living in. I thank you, Lord, that we are still able, Lord God, to be married and be given in marriage. For, Lord, we will do these things until you do arrive. But I do pray that as we are doing these things and as we are busy with our lives, we pray that, Lord, we would be like the wise being prepared. And so anoint your word this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 25 comes obviously right after chapter 24 in your Bible. But at the same time, what's interesting is the content of Matthew 24 is describing the very elements of the latter days. This whole speech of Jesus, what Jesus is talking about, starting in Matthew 24, all the way through chapter 25 in the book of Matthew, is all one sermon, all one time of discourse, where he is talking to his disciples. It's known as the Olivet Discourse. It is called that because they were gathered together on the Mount of Olives. And so Jesus began to relate to them many things about the coming end days. They were astounded. They were amazed at the beauty of Jerusalem in Matthew 24. I mean, I'm sure they looked at that building of stone. I'm sure there was a glory about it. And as they looked at this beautiful temple, they began to say, "Look at its beauty." And Jesus responded and said, "There's coming a day when that will be torn down and there will not be one stone left upon another." And so then they came to him in private when they were there on the Mount of Olives. And they said, "What was it that you were saying, Lord? Explain to us what you said." And so Jesus began to explain what would begin to transpire from the time that Jesus would resurrect from the dead and ascend into heaven, really until our day. When we understand that the last days or the latter days really began from the time of the early church until now, we begin to understand how short the hour really is. For you see, Joel prophesied that in the end days, God would pour out of His Spirit upon all men. Young men would see visions, old men would dream dreams, and it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. That was the beginning of the church, the latter days. But as you and I can very well know, we are living at the very end of those end days, and we must be a people that are prepared for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. In the book of Matthew 24, at the close of his discourse before chapter 25, he began to talk to them about servants, servants of the Lord, that began to say, well, the Lord is delaying his coming. And so they began to beat and began to mistreat the other people. And eventually, the faithful would become unfaithful. I want you just to see it real fast. Matthew 24, verse 45, it says, who then is a faithful and wise servant? And believe it or not, these two tie together. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master has made ruler over his household to give them food at the appointed time? He said, blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master delays his coming, and begins to strike his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not look for him, and in an hour he is not aware of, and will cut him in pieces and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that's very strong. But it's describing the faithful servant and the unfaithful servant. The faithful one is the one that continues doing what they're supposed to be doing, knowing that the master is soon to arrive. The foolish one is the one that begins to say, well, he's delaying his coming, begins to beat the other servants, eats and drinks with the drunken. In one way, you can say they begin to lose their way and they're not ready for his arrival. In Matthew 25, Jesus begins to tell a different story, but with the same element of preparedness. And he brings out the story of the 10 virgins. Five of those virgins are wise. Five of those are foolish. The wise ones are going to go out. Well, actually, all the virgins are going out to meet the bridegroom. And this story brings some elements that maybe some of us don't fully comprehend. We just prayed for the young couple that's going to be getting married here soon. In our day, we know that there is the time when the wedding takes place. But the way that weddings took place there in those days, those church years, during the time of the early church and of Israel, the wedding ceremony was different in many ways. It was still a commitment. It was until death do them part and so on and so forth. But the symbolisms and different things were different. And I want to read for you how it took place back then. It is thought to reflect the wedding scene of first century Palestine. And this is how it went. The wedding guests were entertained in the bride's home until the late evening. So I want you to begin to picture this in your hearts and your minds. The bride had many guests with her in her house, and they would be celebrating in her house until the late evening. There they waited for the bridegroom, whose coming was announced by messengers. Sometime after nightfall, as it began to get dark, in this parable specifically, it's at midnight. But as it gets dark and it's beginning to get dark outside, the groom came to claim his bride and to take her to his father's home where the wedding ceremony would take place and other festivities. And so picture in your minds what's going on. The bride is celebrating with her friends in her house. There's celebration going on. I mean, the wedding is coming. But the bridegroom isn't with her. The husband-to-be isn't there. But they're celebrating there, and they would know that come nightfall, somewhere along that time, the bridegroom would come. His coming would be announced by messengers. Sometimes there would be a shout. There would be some kind of signal to let the people in the bride's house to know the bridegroom is here. At which time, of course, he would get his bride and go to his father's house. And that is where the marriage was consummated. And then there would be the wedding feast, the marriage feast and celebration. Eventually, there would be the revelation of the bride to the whole community after all was said and done. And so, the coming of the bridegroom to the bride's home and the procession to the father's home were accompanied by bright lights, especially by torches. One scholar on the parables notes that it is customary among Arabs of Palestine for the groom to be late for the wedding. The delay results from the traditional haggling over gifts due to the bride's relatives, for if such haggling is neglected, they may indicate that the bride is not to be prized very highly. And so he would get a little agitated with making sure all the family had their gifts to show the bride is of great worth. That's a good thing, don't you think? And so picture in your mind, there's the bride's house celebration. The bridegroom comes to take her at nightfall. It is started with a shout or a messenger. He gets his bride and takes her to his father's house. The processional of which, when he comes to get her, and the processional, when getting her back to his father's house, has many, many lights along the way. More often than not, were torches. Or in some versions and in some ways, they would say it would be an oil lamp. Either way, this is what was transpiring. And so picture that in a backdrop to this story of the wise and the foolish virgins. You see, the wise virgins were her friends. These are the bride's friends, and they're ready to bring light to the whole procession. They're excited about the wedding. They want to be there. But the wise virgins take extra oil with them because they realize and have remembered sometimes the bridegroom delays his coming. Sometimes it's been even in tradition that they're just late for the wedding, the bridegroom. And so it's an unexpected call. The bride doesn't know when he's coming back. He doesn't know when he's coming to get her. She just knows it's soon. Sometime in that day. And so whenever he does come and the shout is given, then they come with their lamps and they light the path to get her from her house to his house. And so these wise virgins realize, look, he may come late again, just like the last wedding we were a part of or what have you. And at that time, we almost ran out of oil. And so they said within themselves, now they're not really saying this, but just kind of putting myself into that picture. And so they said, we're going to be smarter this time. We're going to take some extra oil with us. So they were wise. They were prepared, weren't they? They didn't know if he would come at 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 11:30, or midnight, as happened here in this story. But they were prepared. The foolish virgins took just enough oil for their lamp, and they would burn it. See, so they would be there waiting. The light, the path is there, burning lit. And so as he's there and the delay of coming happens, I'm sure that their torches, if it was torches, or their lamp, if it was a lamp, whatever way it was lit. And so because he delayed his coming, that torch can only burn for so long. And so the wise had extra oil, but he delayed his coming and they all fell asleep. Have you ever noticed that? They all fell asleep. So the sleeping part is not a bad thing. We sometimes think, you know, the church is asleep in that way. If the church is not awake and ready for Jesus, well, yes, don't be sleeping. Be ready for Jesus. But the way that they fell asleep, they were just tired. They fell asleep. But then all of a sudden at midnight, they heard a cry. And the scripture says at midnight, verse 6, there was a cry, look, the bridegroom is coming, come out and meet him. And it says, then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And so the way typically is brought out in your Bible, it's lamps. So these oil lamps, they trimmed the wick, they got a match or whatever they used to light it, they lit them up, and they came with their oil lamps to, of course, be ready for the coming of the bridegroom with his bride. What's interesting in this parable is you never have a mention of the bride. It only talks about the bridegroom. But the way that typical procession took place, the bride would be coming with the bridegroom to go to his father's house. And so they're ready. They have extra oil. They're ready to keep it burning. But then the unwise ones, the foolish ones, begin to say, give us of your oil. And these wise virgins begin to say, no, lest we don't have enough for you and for ourselves. Now, as we look at that in our own human understanding, we can begin to say, well, shouldn't they have been really nice and kind and shared their oil? Anybody ever thought that way? And of course, if it was a literal story in a literal situation, more than likely we would share. Amen? We'd probably rebuke them and say, why didn't you come prepared? But Jesus' intention here is not about sharing or not sharing. It's about being prepared and or unprepared. And the wise virgins were ready for the coming of the bridegroom, and they had extra oil because they were wise. So the scripture says, while the foolish ones went away to go and buy some more oil, because they say that during these big events like this, some of the stores in those localities would stay open very late on purpose. And so there was a place for them to go and buy it, but by the time they went to go and buy extra oil, the scripture says in verse 10, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. The intention of Jesus here is to bring to your and my attention the need for being prepared. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, but we do know from the Word of God that He is. And we as wise people in this day will be prepared. You and I don't have to look very far to know that the world is getting worse and worse. Our own nation, the United States of America, is going and is spiraling down very quickly. It's amazing the things that are allowed and what is going on in our world today have only recently come into the United States in the way that it has in the past 10, 20 years. I mean, it's happening so fast. The degradation, the indecency, the immorality of what is happening in our nation is coming in like a flood, and it's happening fast. Now, I'm not saying that prior to the 20 years ago it was better. I'm not saying it was perfect then. It was bad then, too. Don't misunderstand. But it's getting worse. And it's getting worse. The Bible says that the last days will be perilous times. The Apostle Paul, in talking to Timothy, said, perilous times will come. And so it's getting worse. It's getting worse and darker. But what's encouraging is this, is that in darkness, and the darker it gets, even a small light makes a big impact in a dark place. And that's why you and me are so important. We are the reflectors of God's light in this world, aren't we? And so it is getting darker, and so we need to be like those wise virgins with our lamps burning bright in these last days. Amen? The bridegroom is coming for his bride. You are his bride. Amen? Amen. And we need to be ready for his soon coming. But again, we must be prepared. We must never allow ourselves to begin to, like that unfaithful servant, say, my Lord delays his coming, and begin to drink and get drunken. Because at the moment that that person least expects, he will come. Now, the coming of the Lord will come unexpectedly for all. But I personally believe that God's church will be ready. The Apostle Paul, in describing the coming of the Lord, said, you are not children of darkness. You are not children of the night, but of the day. We can be ready and expectant. We don't know the hour, but God will give to us a knowledge of the time in our hearts. Amen? To where we will begin to know the time is at hand. We will never know the day, the hour, but we can know in our hearts that He is coming soon. And that should wake us up and cause us to be ready for the coming of Jesus. Amen? You see, what Jesus is bringing out is the story of being prepared. But notice what happens in verse 11. The door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also. You see, they came late, saying, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, Jesus says, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. You see, we can begin to think in our minds, the Lord is delaying His coming. We can begin to let our own spiritual fervor and passion begin to grow cold because we think, well, He's not coming. We can begin to think, oh, I don't need to be faithful to church. You know, I don't need to be intimate with Jesus. And we can easily be lured into that kind of mindset. We must be careful because we must always be prepared because He is coming back. Don't allow the cares of this life to distract you so much that you begin to grow weary in your waiting, that you begin to grow weary in your being prepared. Amen. Because the things of this world and of this life can be distracting. Now, listen to what I'm telling you. There's things that can be good, but that can become a hindrance to us. Amen. Now, I'm not meaning to put these things down, but just listen to what I'm saying. Sometimes the cares of life can distract us. Good things can hinder us if we're not careful. Amen. Sometimes we can get so caught up with our job that we begin to forget about the things of God. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have a job and work. I mean, God forbid, we need to work. If you don't work, you don't eat, the scripture says. Jesus said, occupy until I come. Stay busy until I come back. But we must not allow our spiritual lives to be distracted by our busyness. Amen? And so good things can hinder us, but we must bring a balance in our hearts and our lives, our homes, to where God is truly the priority of our lives. Amen. And so today I just wanted to bring this message to you, a message on preparedness, because we are living in the latter days. Like I said earlier, I recently listened to a sermon by Carter Connellan from Times Square Church, and he was talking about pushing back the darkness. If you get a chance to listen to it later on, tsc.nyc.org, you can listen to it there. It's an excellent message concerning the times that we're living in. And in many ways, this message kind of tags along with what I heard him saying in his sermon, that we must be ready. Amen. We don't know the day nor the hour, but like these wise virgins, we can be prepared. Amen. Let's stand this morning.